babblers.
Welcome back to blah blah blah. She's wearing the headphones this time, and your radio host personality is coming out.
It is coming
and
out.
And she's also sitting back on her couch holding her microphone, which makes her feel more like a radio host, Gally.
I feel...
Gally?
Gally.
I mixed gal and girly.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I feel... Ooh, I'm going to do one headphone.
Okay, DJ, on the beat.
Is that weird? No, I like that, actually. Yeah, I do feel... I feel very important when I'm holding the mic and I have the headphones.
Yeah. Like, you look important.
I run this
shit. I'm
kind
of scared of you.
Should be. Well, welcome back to Blah Blah Blah. My name's Genevieve.
I'm Cicely.
And I'm Zulema.
And today we are going to be talking about social media.
Dun, dun, dun.
Bah, 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 bah.
Scary.
Spooky.
Spooky time.
How
did this get inspired? You want to give a little background about your Instagram refresh?
I'll give a little backdrop. So when we went on our little road trip.
Backdrop?
What's a backdrop?
A background?
Background?
Sorry. Let me just paint a picture
Let
for
me
you.
Just get a little green screen up going for you all.
Imagine a green screen in your mind. Now put these words on it. I wanted to unfollow a bunch of people on Instagram, and I feel like what inspired that was I was just feeling very sucked in to my Instagram feed and just finding myself just scrolling. And half these people, I was sort of like questioning why I was even following them. And I looked at my thing and I was following 1,200 people. And I felt like...
You've also had your Instagram a long time, though, so it makes sense that they've accumulated over the years.
Right.
Yeah.
And I was like...
That's a lot of people, though.
It's a lot of people, and you're not even seeing most of those people's posts, or maybe the people that you actually want to see. So I was like, I think it's time to clean house. And so when we went on the road trip for Cicely's birthday, she basically was my little assistant, and she went through my following and was like... Follow,
which
unfollow.
I, side note, think I am like the best assistant
ever. You
would be
such a good one.
You are the best.
So if anybody needs an assistant, I'll help.
Can I hire you to respond to people like my texts?
Yeah,
I'll
communicate for you. Just give me.
I would literally pay you money to do that.
Zoo, I would. Are you kidding me? I'd be so good at that.
Oh my God! You
give me your email login, and I'll just correspond.
It's just text. Just respond to my dad and my mom.
Hey guys, so I am having the best day ever.
Just tell them that I'm alive. Yeah. Literally, I don't respond to them for 3 days, and my mom texts me, "Are you alive?" My dad did that too. They both. Did that this week because I was not responding out, and I was like, I'm alive, I'll call you later.
It was MIA.
The thing with me is like, if someone calls me and I'm not in a good mood, like I'm not answering your call,
which you should,
because I'm
That's
not
good.
Gonna be I'm not gonna be performing my best on the phone call.
You know what, I feel the same way. I feel the same way about going out. If I'm not in a good mood, I don't really want to be there because I'm not gonna be my best self.
I agree.
Yeah,
so
anyway, sorry,
I get one tequila soda, I mean, I'm a lot better.
Oh yeah. Anyways, so I kind of like came up with this strategy for doing my mass unfollow, and I was like, Cicely, all I want to do is I want to follow people that I can learn from. So like my things that I like are poetry, screenwriting, like acting, history, photography, cooking, philosophy, like those things. And I follow a bunch of those accounts, but they were like getting lost under all the influencers.
I think it also, this got inspired because we came across a legend named Poon. Okay,
this man was named this inspired Poon. By Poon,
kind of, because G follows this account called Cool Kids History. Is that what it is? And we found this story about this king named Poon Lim, who survived 133 days,
something like that. Something the world record
at sea after he was
at the
hit
time. I don't think it's still
at
the
time.
World,
yeah,
world
maybe
record.
Not, yeah,
which
this
is
was
kind
like
of crazy.
It was in the '30s.
Yeah. Which after he was hit by a submarine missile, his boat, he found a raft that somebody had used to, like, they were going to jump off, but they didn't survive. So he got on the raft, had enough time or enough supplies on that to last him, I don't know, a month or something. But he lasted 133 days. Anyway, G was like, if Poon would have gone through the cracks and I wouldn't have learned about it, I would never know about Poon.
We could not shut up about
we
Poon
could not
this
shut
whole
up
trip.
About Poon, which is why I feel like I had
Poon
to bring
this,
him up.
Poon that.
On Poon.
We're literally Poon. Obsessed with Poon.
Our next book club book is going to be Poon's Poon's like autobiography.
Yeah. We were on this lake in front of our Airbnb, and we had this, like, what is it called? Like an inner tube, like a floaty thing. I had tied it to the back of our canoe, and I was the rope was attached, and I thought, and they started rowing forward. And then after a while, I was like, wait, I'm not moving. I should probably look back to see if I'm still tied onto the boat. And they were like so far. They were like basically on the other side of the lake. I was like, there was this other boat on the lake of these two boys.
They were like 14, 15. And I was like, one was drinking a Bud Light. So.
Yeah, I don't know what was up with that. And I was like, guys, save me, save me. And they wouldn't come back. And I finally said, on Poon.
And we came immediately rowing back.
And they came back.
We're like, now she's serious. Also, in a side note of Poon, like, some of the things he did were unbelievable. Yeah, he literally crazy.
Talk about survivor mode.
Yes, he had like a water jug on the raft, because
there
him.
Were some resources on the raft, because somebody was going to use it to survive, but they didn't survive, so he found it, whatever.
And he literally killed a shark with this water jug and then dragged it onto the boat, and then, like, I mean, I think used some of the shark to get other
fish,
right?
He basically would, like, major fish. Poon energy. He would fish somehow. He would literally catch fish. I don't know. He also kept up with his muscles. Like, he would swim laps in shark-infested water in the middle of the ocean, swim laps, keep up his muscle mass, and then he would, like, get fish, and then he would put the fish on top of his...
Yes.
On top of the boat.
Oh, right.
And he would get seagulls, and he would catch the seagulls, drink their blood when he ran out of water, and he was swimming in the water, got attacked by a shark, brought the shark onto his boat, and whacked it dead with a water bottle.
Literally, I'm sorry.
And then survived. Right, and then survived.
He's like my king. You guys need to, babblers, you need to look up Poon Lim's story, because it was one of the craziest things I've ever read. And like Cicely's saying, I would not have been able to read
that's my point, yes.
Yeah.
Under all these influencers that I had been following.
And think about all of the other stories, like Poon Lim, that you have missed before you started unfollowing
all these
people.
And it was so interesting, and it literally made our trip, this Poon's story, we were like so obsessed with it.
Poon can do it, we can do anything. Yes. If Poon can do that, we can do anything.
Essentially, it's a Poon Girl Summer.
Yeah.
Which means, like, oh my God, you,
it is a Poon Girl Summer.
Can do let's anything. Define that. Poon Girl Summer.
It means you can do anything you set your mind to. Yes. You can kill a shark with a water jug. Seems impossible.
No,
you can
do it.
No, you can do it. You can survive on a raft for 130 days.
We are stronger than we think we are.
Yes.
Alone time is maybe a good thing sometimes.
You think
you
can't unfollow a bunch of people on Instagram? You can. You're strong enough to do that.
Yeah. Poon would. Poon would not put up with all this bullshit in his life.
No, no. And also, it's just about, like, the road is hard, and it'll get harder sometimes. He did have to go through World War II after that. but there is light at the end of the tunnel. He lived in Brooklyn, New York. He came to the United States. Died at 73 in Brooklyn.
Our next adventure is trying to find his grave.
Yes. I don't know if he ever found love, though. We couldn't find that online. Not that you need love. Well, we're also Poon energy.
Book,
you can
be
single.
Maybe we'll find some more information.
We'll do a Poon book review.
Anyway, let's get back to social media.
That was this little side tangent, a little Poon tangent.
But like, so important. Because really, Poon really needs important. To be talked about.
So essentially, I was like, I only want to follow people that I can learn from. So kind of what I was talking about. Friends. But specifically, because you can twist that to mean, like, a lot of... You could twist that to mean a lot of acquaintances. I want to do, like, people that are currently in my life. So I let go of following people from high school that, like, I don't think I'll ever see again. And if they do happen to be in my life later, I'll refollow them. It's not, like, a huge deal. And I just feel like we're so worried about unfollowing people because we think people take it personally. And I just... don't think it has to be that way.
It was interesting too, like, being your assistant for a moment while you were doing this. First of all, loved it. Would love to do it again. Second of all, you do, like, how I do it. I think, let me see how many people I follow on Instagram, because I really don't like to follow. I follow 105 people.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all I follow. And I will go through that, like, monthly and kind of cut it down, because I just don't want to, I want to spend as least time as I can on social media, and that's how I do it. But I was telling you, it's like, so I do it a lot. So I kind of have, like, a little bit of a method to, like, going through and unfollowing people. First of all, it's like...
You were so good at, like,
I was
helping
like,
me.
You have to be ruthless, because you can always go back and follow people again. Always. Yes. Nobody's going to find offense to that. Also, a lot of the people that you were like, ugh, I have to keep because we've known each other from something back in the day, whatever. We went to their followers, and a lot of them were not following you back. So they were being ruthless.
Kind of like getting rid of your clothes.
Yeah.
Like, you're like... but I wore this on the first day of school in seventh grade, or, like, this used to be my favorite pair of pants.
Who gives a shit?
It's like, okay, it was, but it no longer is sparking joy.
Literally.
So get rid of
it. You gotta, like, be fucking ruthless. And then also, my other thing is, like, okay, you go through. Well, also, yours was a big task, but you go through and you do one swoop of, yeah. okay, these are all the people I can unfollow.
And well, you got also down. The least interacted with feature on Instagram. Yeah, it was really so helpful.
You got down, like, you unfollowed, I think, like 600 people or something. Oh, a lot of people.
I unfollowed 800 people.
In total?
Yeah.
No, but then we went, that was the first round.
The first round.
And then my suggestion after that is, like, you think, okay, that's as many as I can get it down to. You go through again. Mm-hmm. And you really be, like, extra ruthless. And you got down 300 extra people or something. Mm-hmm. Like, you're like, I don't need this person.
I think we went through, like, four times.
Yeah, well, you go through over and over and over again. And as the time keeps going and as, like, you go through the different rounds, you realize, like, actually, I don't really want to follow. Like, you get in a kind of, like, it's addictive. Like, a little bit of a rhythm.
It feels really good.
Because it feels so good.
Yeah. Did you finish your criteria? What was on your list?
So then after friends... family, so that's kind of obvious. And then people that I follow for business purposes, so like just people that I really feel like I need to follow for like business relationships. But other than that, those were like, that was my criteria. So
wait, can you go over it one more time?
Yeah, so people that you learn from, this is G's strategy for following people. People you learn from, friends that are currently in your life, family, and people that I follow for business purposes. So those are the
categories. A great list.
I like that.
I personally would not do the same thing, but I'm glad that you...
What would you do, Zoo?
Well, I personally get a lot of inspiration from the people that I follow, mm-hmm. and that includes a lot of influencers, like Iris Law. I just love the stuff she posts. Or just, like, I follow a lot of interior design. Maybe that would fall under a learning category.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think a lot of people that I follow are not people that I know, but that I... get a lot of inspiration from.
Yeah, and I think if you get inspiration from them, like, and they're not taking anything away from you, like, you should still follow them. I think what G said too is like, which was a good point. G's like, if I want inspiration, I'll go to Pinterest, which is just different. It's just like, where do you get your inspiration? Do you get it from Instagram? Then keep following those people. If you can get it from Pinterest, then just be on Pinterest, and you're already on Pinterest. I think it's just about limiting the amount of content that you're.
It was like, to me, Instagram was like, it was too interesting to me. I was following so many people that I was also like thinking, oh, I'm like getting inspiration from these people. But really, I do use Pinterest a lot, and I don't find myself getting sucked into that in the same way that I do on Instagram. And and I can like spend a shorter amount of time on Pinterest, find what I'm looking for. And it's actually, it's done a really good job. Like, my Pinterest is very curated now to what I'm looking for, what I like, whatever. And I just wanted to make my Instagram more boring, and it has worked so well. And I kind of wrote down like what I've noticed after unfollowing 800 people, and that is just that Instagram is so much more boring, and I love it. Like, I have been clicking on the app a lot less. I mean, it's muscle memory, you know, like you open your phone, you click on Instagram.
Do you guys know that there's this thing? I was like looking up some stuff before this podcast, and if you go to your settings and then you go,
you can see how many times you've clicked on it.
Yeah, you go to screen time and then you go to see all activity, and you go down, it says most used, but it's this thing called pickups. So it's like when you pick up your phone, mine is like 46. So since I woke up this morning,
I've picked up my phone. I thought you meant like how many times you opened up Instagram.
No, but you pick up, it's like basically, so I have 46 pickups today.
Yeah.
And 8 of those were Instagram, 6 of those were TikTok. It's like how many times you picked up your phone, you instantly went to an app.
It does show you that.
Yeah, so it's not even like, mine this morning a lot was Notes app, because we're doing an episode later today about Notes. So I was like, I kept going through my notes to kind of like see what I wanted, and I was taking notes on this stuff and whatever. But you can see your, like, you literally look at your phone, you pick it up. All of them are like social media platforms basically, which is very, very interesting.
No, it's scary because I was like, it's literally just a habit at this point. It's muscle memory. But what I have noticed is that even though I'm kind of clicking on it the same amount, I feel like I'm spending way less time on it because it's just kind of boring. I don't have all these influencers that I like loved looking at their stories, and they post a lot. And all the accounts that I follow now, I think, post a lot less too. So it's just like, oh, well, I've gone through all my stories and I've seen everything I wanted to see, and then I just leave, which was literally my goal. So I am so freaking happy. And then it's like, if there's somebody that I miss that I want to follow, an influencer or whatever, like, I can. It's not like I can never do it again.
It's not like you're blocking them.
No, it's just a little kind of experiment. And at this point, I'm like, that was such a good decision. It's making me feel a lot better, I think, for sure.
Because I just feel like it can be overwhelming to, like, look at all those things, like, all the time. And, like, look at all of, like, your people you're following. It's just, like, a big number. You're like, who even are these people?
So I feel like we kind of asked ourselves some questions to sort of talk about social media. Maybe we could each go through and kind of answer. Mm-hmm. What do we think is bad about social media?
I think what's bad about social media is, well, just like off the top of, I think there's a lot of good things, like, not to like answer the question by not answering the question, by answering the opposite, but I think in times like today when social media is like so prevalent, it's so easy to like motivate people really quickly or like spread news.
Well, we're going to talk about what's good.
But I kind of like this connects back to like what I think is bad about it, like the main thing. But it's like if somebody's missing, you can post about them and like find them, like Black Lives Matter, like all of these different things. Like it's very easy to like quickly motivate people to like rally against something or for something or whatever, GoFundMes. But I think in that, like the biggest bad thing that I think about social media, besides it being like addictive and all that stuff, is that it's like people are like making money off of those like rallies and those like things that you're posting and like people that are like rallying together to like go get money for this person or whatever. It's like the social media platform people are like putting ads on that and making money off of that, and they're like I don't know, like it's just like back to like capitalism, I guess. Like social media is like such a capitalistic platform, like even though we think it's like, oh, this is my feed, like this is my personal thing, these are all my friends, like I'm connecting with people. I think specifically like in the last like 10 years or something, social media has become such like less of a way to like connect with people like it was intentionally like made for, and more a way for like people to make money, which is a good thing, like for influencers and stuff like that, like people have made careers out of it, which is really good. But I do think it's like the people that are making these platforms are making them to kind of like corrupt our brains and our system and like who we are and like everything like that. So
yeah,
that's what I think. I mean, there's so many bad things about it in my opinion. I also love it. But I think for me, like, that's the thing that bothers me a lot is, like, people are intentionally making something that's addictive, making something that's triggering things in us, making something that's creating, like, body dysmorphia and eating disorders and all these things, and, like, making money off of it and, like, continuing. Like, not stepping back and being, like, maybe we should make this less addictive. They're, like, how can we create algorithms to make it more addictive?
How can we create people's... Yeah, because they just want more money.
Yeah, how can we, like... twist people's feeds to make them more in tune with what they want and like make them spend more time on these apps and make us more. It just feels like a cycle that's like so overwhelming that is just a negative cycle in my head. But also I love social media, so
I think one of the bad things about social media is that it breeds comparison and jealousy. I think whenever, because basically everyone's profile is just a highlight reel. Like, you're going to be posting how amazing your life is, or the recent trip you went on, or the good food you're eating, or all the friends that you have. And so when you see that, it's really easy to compare yourself with all these people that are living their best life. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's natural. Like, as humans, I don't think we should be seeing the ins and outs of everyone's daily life. Like, that's just not natural.
Yeah.
And it's just so easy to compare yourself to everyone's life. And I think that's one of the bad things. I mean, there's countless bad things, but that's just like the first thing that comes to my head.
Yeah, I think that's so interesting. Like the other day I was talking to somebody like that I haven't talked to in a really long time, and they were like, oh my God. Or this person texted me. That's what it was, like from home, like who I used to work with in high school. And they were like, your life looks, I'm moving to New York soon. Like, hope you're doing well. Like, your life looks so amazing. Like, you look like you're having the best time ever. Like, you look like you're having so much fun, like, can't wait to see you and catch up or whatever. And I'm like, I haven't seen you in 3 years. And so, like, you have no idea really how I'm doing. Yeah. Just, you're only basing it off of what I post on Instagram, which is obviously, like you're saying, highlights of my life and good things about my life. But it's like, I went through, like, a breakup in the last year. Like, I did, like, all these things that were, like, really hard and sad and, like, a lot of transition and all just these different things. And it's like, it's funny when people who you literally have not seen in person in years or months are like, you look like you're doing great. Like, you look like you're doing, having so much fun. Yeah. Like, your life looks amazing. It's like...
Yeah, so does everyone's on Instagram. Oh, yeah,
so does everybody's. But then I'm like, it makes you think about yourself and you're like, oh my God, like, I'm not... That's not me. Like, I'm not real, like, on this app, which it's hard to be real.
Also, it's weird because it almost feels like you're being social when you go on Instagram. Like, whenever I go, I'm like... oh my God, I'm seeing what all these people are doing. Like, I feel like I'm catching up with an old friend, even listening to a podcast. I'm like, oh my God, I just felt like I got off FaceTime with a friend.
Yeah.
But you're not actually connecting with those people. Yeah, like, right. It's not a two-way thing. It's just you, like, ingesting their content. And I think about your connecting thing, it's like, then you're not going to go and seek that out, that connection, that real connection with real people.
There's so much, like, disassociating that goes on. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like it can almost get so, like, existential. Like, we are, like, thinking about how we're being perceived so much. And there's so much, like, planning and thought that goes into the way that, like, we curate our feeds. Even, like, everyone does this, but we text each other, okay, what do you think about this post? Like,
or what, like, should, what the should caption I caption be? This?
Like, oh, is
this
I'm literally the worst. I'm like, so we're like, do you guys like these photos? Like, what are your thoughts? Yeah. I literally spend weeks curating my, like, dumps.
And it's like, literally, there is so much thought that goes into these dumps.
There's
literally.
So much thought about, like, how are the people that are watching me gonna perceive me? How am I being perceived? How am I perceiving myself? Like, it's, you are just, like, dissociating on this level that I feel like is so unnatural. And then, I mean, I don't even know how it affects people that are younger than us, because we are lucky enough to not have grown up with all of these things. They came a little bit later in our lives.
I know, when we were younger, our parents were like, don't watch too much TV. Like, that was the issue. And now it's like, don't have your iPad in bed before you go to bed. Like, don't be
on it
24/7.
We just barely missed it, too, because we all got phones, you know, when we were in, and we got flip phones or whatever, when we were in middle school, I guess. So it's just going to be really interesting to see how actually the kids growing up now are affected by that, just, like, psychologically.
I saw this interesting thing. I think it was, like, the next generation after Generation Z is Generation Alpha, I think. Mm-hmm. And they were saying, they were predicting Alpha.
Oh, I was like,
it's the Elf generation.
I was like, okay.
I wish.
I was like, Santa, I was born generation. In the wrong generation, obviously. I belong in Elf.
So I think they were saying, this is also, I probably saw it on TikTok, so it's probably not true, but they were saying that, like, they are going to rebel against Generation Z, and they're going to, like, not want to post on Instagram, or, like, not want to, like, be, have this whole online persona, which makes sense because we are so much online. We're showing everything.
And we always rebel against what, like, the last generation did. It's just what happens. And that's really interesting because I follow this kid on Instagram that I used to babysit.
Yeah.
So he's a lot younger than me. And, I mean, he must be, he's probably in middle school or something. And the way that he posts on Instagram, and I've looked at some of his friends that he tags, they all post these, like, really, like, blurry photos with, like, no caption. It's very different from the way that, like, we post or the way that we would have posted when we first got Instagram.
And the way that also our parents posted, too.
It's so funny. I'm just like, because there's obviously going to be a whole new cultural aesthetic when they, you know, are our age or whatever, which is really interesting. But
that's so funny.
I was going to say about, because you guys were talking about, like, comparison, I feel like we were talking earlier about influencers, and I feel like I kind of tricked my brain into believing this philosophy that they were somehow, like, inspiring me, and they maybe partially were, but I just feel like the bad of that, like, constant comparison and, like, not feeling good enough, not feeling like I'm doing enough, was outweighing the good, which was, like, the potential fashion and beauty inspiration.
Right.
And even living in New York, I feel like already we're so bombarded by this, like, fast-paced life where you look outside your window or you walk outside your door, everyone seems busy and, like, they're going somewhere important. And they probably are. And literally, everyone fills their days up to the maximum. And, yeah, it's just sort of that, like, rat race. And I feel like I already have that so much living in a city that it's like, I don't then want to go on onto Instagram and again feel like I'm not doing enough.
Well, there's limitless, like, potential for comparison online. Like, literally limitless.
It's infinite.
And I was, like, looking at this thing because I was like, I just feel like our circles now, because, like, our circles of people we kind of know a little bit, or people that we interact with daily, or especially living in a city, obviously it's exponentially higher than somebody maybe living in a suburb or somebody who can drive everywhere or whatever. But it's like, I was interested in, like, how many people that are, like, in our circle that we, like, interact with daily, based on, like, okay, how it's changed from, like, back in the day when you would, like walk around and go see people and you were, like, we're only hanging out with, like, your family and your family's friends and stuff. So I found this, like, thing online that was, like, in the 1920s, basically, like, your outer circle, like, your bigger circle that you were, like, obviously you had maybe, like, 20 close friends and family, but then, like, your big, big circle was, like, 150 people. Like, that was, like, it. That was, like, max, like, basically average max of, like, how many people you would, like, kind of interact with weekly or something was 150 people based on, like, your family, your friends, and your family's friends and family. And now, like, because of social media, it's, like, the people that people interact with or the amount that people interact with or that are in their, like, close-knit circle, which close-knit circle, it's, like, it's not really. Like, you follow 1,200 people. Like, they're not really your close-knit circle, but, like, they're kind of, like, included in that because you're interacting with them daily. And now it's, like, upward of, like, 500 people. Like, it went from, like, 115, 120 to 500 people, which is, like, insane to think about because, like, we're always, like, oh, we're not, we have three friends and that's about it. But it's like, if I look at all the people I'm following on Instagram and the people you're following and
our mutuals
and we go to a party and I kind of know some people, it's like, because of social media, because of, I don't know, I think living in a city too, but because of like this online platform that houses like all these people that we could potentially know from a city that we like have a friend that lived there or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just grown so much. So it's like, it is, that's a limitless kind of place for comparison, but then also like just general social media, like you could go through your explore page and just see model after model after model after model after clean girl aesthetic, clean girl aesthetic, clean girl aesthetic after like beauty filter girl, beauty filter, like just it's just completely,
I swear,
like
I know like half of New York City because I've seen them on Instagram or on TikTok. Like we were at this at Finale's the other day and we saw this cute guy outside and I literally was like, oh, I know him because I've seen him on Instagram. And with like dating apps too, it's like I know all these guys because I've seen them on like
Hinge. It's like, how do our brains even have the capacity to like process all of that? Because that's happened to me too. I've been like, someone was saying, oh, I saw that you followed this girl on Instagram, I'm friends with her, how do you know her? And I was like, oh, I don't actually know her. I just follow her on Instagram, but I feel like I know her.
Yeah.
Which so is weird. Is such a bizarre, like, really weird human experience.
But I also saw this thing in relation to that. There's, like, so many cool, like, articles and, like, things to learn about on social media, but they did this, like, I think like, it was Harvard or somebody did this experiment with people where it's, like, they had two people at a concert and one person was, or two people at like a show or something, a music festival, whatever. One person had a phone and was like, you can record as much as you want to record. Like, you can take videos, pictures, selfies, whatever. And then the other one was like, you can't have a phone. Like, you can't be on your phone. You can't take videos. You can't do whatever. And it was interesting, like, seeing the comparison between the two, because the person with the phone, because they had a phone that was like calculating and like saving all of the memories, they had like less, they remembered less from that night of what happened or the songs that were saying or the little like things that happened with friends and whatever, like they were quizzed on it later. Whereas the person who didn't have a phone remembered like everything, because it's kind of like when we have our phone with us or when we're following people or when whatever, like we're seeing things online, it's like almost like, okay, our brain doesn't need to remember it because our phone will remember it.
Right.
But it's like when we don't have a phone, we're going to remember so much. Like if you think about like Instagram, your Instagram feed last week, do you remember one post from your Instagram feed? Like,
No.
But if you actually like hung out and like saw the person or saw the thing, like you would remember it all. It's just so interesting.
Well, this is the dilemma I constantly have, which is like, will it make me feel more present to record these things or take photos of what's happening or to not and try to be present in the moment? And honestly, when I'm looking back on like experiences that I've had, the things that I remember are the ones that I took photos of, which is interesting because you would honestly think the opposite, like based on your situation where it's like you feel more present if you're not recording it. But I found that like sometimes my memory is so bad, like the things that I will remember are the ones that I took pictures of, because I will go back and look at the pictures and be like, oh, like what a fun time I was having. Or I'll look back on my Instagram and be like, oh yeah, I remember that. So I don't know. I never know whether to be like, should I be taking photos so I remember this, or should I just be living in the moment?
That's why I am obsessed with my film camera and my digital camera, because it feels like this extension. I mean, I feel like the problem with always having your phone and always going to take photos on your phone is like it's not just a camera. So you pick up your phone and then you see a notification and then you see a text and then now you're distracted. Whereas like taking out my film camera, it's like more, it's its own autonomous thing.
Yeah.
And it feels more real, like you're really being a photographer.
Yeah, yeah.
Not that the quality really is, the quality on phones now, but to take photos is amazing.
The tool for the purpose that it was created for. Yeah. Like the sole purpose. It wasn't, it's not this like box that has everything that we could ever want in it ever.
Right.
That could ever distract us. It's like you're using a camera that was made to be a camera and yeah. to take pictures.
And so then I take yeah. the photo and then I put it away because there's nothing else I could do on yeah. it. Whereas like my phone, I take the photo and then...
You're like, do I post this? Do I whatever?
Yeah, I don't know. There's
and
more...
And then you get distracted and you open Instagram and yeah. then you're distracted. On TikTok and then you look up and like an hour has gone by.
More like three.
And we're all yeah. on our phones.
Yeah. yeah
That's so. What I also hate about like the phone menu, like not having a physical menu, because then you go to a restaurant and you're all on your phone and it looks like you're not paying attention to each other.
I
did not know
what you're talking about. Yeah, I was like, what's a phone menu? That.
And it's like,
I hate it. I hate it.
Oh my God, it's awful.
Since when are like menus not like, okay?
Also, what if, okay, this is like kind of a funky idea.
I'm gonna protest. Pro menus.
What if you don't have a phone or your phone's yeah. dead? Like, can you just
you
not
to use
look
your
at
friend's
the menu?
Phone or something?
What if you're not with a friend? What if you're eating dinner by yourself? It's
also,
like,
it's so small, like my grandpa cannot see that. I know. Sorry.
And my mom's trying to zoom in, and bless her heart, it's like not looking good. I'm like, girl.
Yeah.
This was another point that I wanted to bring up, because I was talking to you guys about Bo Burnham and how I'm so obsessed with all mm-hmm. of his like thoughts on social media. Mm-hmm. And Babblers, you should look up some of his interviews, because he's been talking about this since like 2016. He has been, before there was TikTok, before it's gotten like as bad as it has gotten, he was talking about it. But he was, I just feel like he really said it best when he said that we used to colonize land and now social media companies are colonizing our attention.
Oh, so
and they're
true.
Trying to colonize every minute of your life. And Bo Burnham was like, every single free moment you have is a moment that you could be looking at your phone.
Yes.
And so the less time that you spend on social media, the less time that they have to collect your information to make you stay longer. So, like, really the ultimate rebellion is taking control of your own time and attention, because otherwise it's yeah. being used against you. So I know that we all, like, see Instagram ads that are perfectly catered to us, and we're like, oh my God, I want to buy that. And sometimes that's kind of nice. Sometimes it's like, oh, they found the thing that I was looking for.
Yeah.
But the only reason they're able to do that is because you spend enough time on these apps to where they have the information to perfectly tailor these things to you and just suck you in, and then it's so much harder to get out.
Yeah.
That's why where it's like, now that I've unfollowed these people and Instagram's more boring, I'm spending less time, therefore they don't have the time to track me and get me yeah.
well,
to be sucked in more.
It's called like, I think I wrote it down. It's called the hook model. Is like what they have, and it's very interesting too,
you, yeah.
because like they hook you into the ads. It's literally like, how did they create the most addictive, manipulative thing ever? I don't know, but they fucking did it. But it's called the hook method, because I mean, there's like no other really form of content kind of that needs no marketing, you know? Yeah, like we yeah. just do it. Mm-hmm. We literally just go on and we do it, and we're on it, and we love it, and we spend all of our time on it.
And we don't really question it.
But they literally hook you in like you're a fucking fish in the sea.
Yeah.
Like you're Poon's shark, and they're going to bring you onto the raft and kill you with a water bottle.
Let's bring Poon yeah. into this.
It's just crazy. No, I mean, my dad even got like hooked in to a Facebook ad. It's his favorite shirt. He's worn it for 2 years. It says, I like beer, hockey, and maybe three people. And
no,
he bought the shirt, the mug, and the pants, and they all say the same shit on it, and he loves it.
Yeah. yeah. I feel like my attention span, and probably a lot of other people's, has gotten so short to the point that I can't be just watching a YouTube video. I have to be watching a YouTube video and watching a TikTok on my phone and, like, doing something else. It's like,
yeah,
I have to be doing three
I'll,
things
like,
at once. It's like, I can't even sit through a movie anymore without getting bored.
I'll literally be eating lunch, watching my little, like, during work time, watching my little Netflix while I'm eating my lunch, and I'll be on TikTok on my phone while I'm eating, watching TV
yeah.
on my phone. Like, there's three things happening. And then I'll finish my dinner, and I'm like, I mean, my lunch, and I'm like, did I even, okay, like, it's, you can't focus.
Yeah.
It's like, I didn't even feel like I ate.
And that's
or
the,
like I digested
anything. I just
anything.
Feel like we've become like so numb, and we're on like autopilot almost.
Yeah.
Literally.
We're just doing things because they're a habit, not necessarily stepping back and analyzing. And if you just take a second to like really just look at it and reflect and then ask yourself, how are the things that I'm doing making me feel? You just suddenly have so much more control and autonomy. Otherwise, we're just like literally on autopilot doing things
well, for no apparent reason. Well, that's the thing is like, sometimes I'll catch myself in this cycle of like doom scrolling. And then I'm like, okay, turn it off. So I turn off my phone mm-hmm. and I'm sitting there. And then like all the thoughts start rushing to my brain yeah. and I'm like, oh my God, this is overwhelming. Like, I don't want to deal with this. I just want to distract myself. Like, this is mm-hmm. too much to handle. I don't want to think mm-hmm. right now. Mm-hmm. And so then I'll go back on my phone. But I think that's the thing is like, it's just a distraction from our thoughts. Like, yeah, we are just distracting ourselves. And that's what they want us to keep doing is like distracting ourselves. And also, when you were talking about that Bo Burnham thing, I was thinking about how like I have convinced myself that that I get my inspiration from Instagram and all this social media stuff. But honestly, I feel like I would be more creative if I let myself have like time where I'm just sitting there letting myself be bored and let the creative ideas come to me, because mm-hmm. that's when all the ideas come, is when I'm on a walk or I'm taking a shower or I'm not scrolling. And so I think people think that you are more creative when you're looking at things from Instagram, but you're honestly going to be more creative if you detach yourself from that, let your mind wander, yeah. let yourself be bored for like 2 seconds.
I think it's a trick. I yeah. really think that it's like we've convinced ourselves of this, and I convinced myself for like a long time, and I feel like that's what they want us to keep doing because it feeds into the whole cycle. If there are no influencers, what does Instagram become now yeah. that it's so basically saturated, dedicated yeah. to influencers? Like, if we don't have them, Instagram's pretty boring, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I also do brand deals and stuff, so I'm not like totally out of the loop of it, you know, but I do think it's a cycle that we are feeding. And going off of what you're saying, it was interesting because, not to be like corny, like, oh, I sat in a coffee shop the other day and read a book, but I did yesterday, and I was sitting at the counter and it was a window.
Yeah.
And I almost like just, I kind of didn't want to read my book because there was so many interesting people walking by.
Yeah.
And I felt like, oh no, my purpose is like, I'm wanting to read this book. But what I ended up being more interested in was just the people walking by. And I felt like one of those old people who like sit on their porch.
Literally,
and
like just the watch guy at the walk. Lake that was like looking out. And we were like, oh, what a fucking weirdo.
But old people.
This guy was sitting in nature. That. He was doing the cutest thing. He brought his little chair. And I was like, is this man going to murder me? Like, where is his like book? Where is his phone? What is he looking at? Like, why is he just looking at nature? I'm yeah. like, that's so creepy.
And I felt like almost a little odd too, because I was just staring at the window and kind of staring at people. But I literally came up with an idea for a movie, and literally, I started writing it yes, down on my phone.
That's when all my ideas come to me.
And that just made me think of that, because I was like, wow, just letting myself kind of be bored for a second and quote unquote not doing anything. I felt like I was supposed to be reading my book, but yeah. what was more interesting to me was the people walking by. And I mean, that's the real life Instagram, right? It's just yeah. watching people walk by and watching people, because that's yeah. what we're doing, is we're essentially like being voyeuristic. But at least in real life, your mind's not like turned mm-hmm. off.
At least in real life, your mind's not turned off. There's no beauty filter. You can't curate a fucking post. You like are seeing somebody for like their real self, as you can see them on the street, like how they're walking and their stride mm-hmm. and just like everything about them. Like, it's just so much about Instagram. I mean, I'm a victim to it too. Like, I literally don't really post that often, so when I do post, it's like so hyper curated, and then once I post it, I'm like, ugh, I don't even want this, it's not good. But it's like, if you see me only on Instagram, like the girl who saw me, like I haven't seen her in 2 years, and she was like, your life looks great, whatever, like you don't see my pimples, like you don't see my cellulite, right. you don't see yeah. like my outfits that I don't look good in, like you don't see me going to my workout class in the morning with like my mm-hmm. hair in a bun and all this shit.
I mean, I just feel like I love people and I'm fascinated by them. And I think that is one of the things that's so attractive about Instagram, is you just get to look at people essentially in yeah. their lives. But like, you can do that in real life.
Yeah.
You can go on a drive and see people. You can go on a walk. You can.
And sit I know in a it's probably shop. Just like the creepiest thing I'll probably ever say, but I think that's why I love New York too, because it's like, we're all in our little like Hollywood windows, you know, and like you can just like look into somebody else's, like I can see
yeah.
seven apartments pretty clearly from my window, and they can probably see into me, and they probably see me all the time, like walking out of the shower or whatever, which is probably not good, but I can see other people's lives, and I so much rather would like love to sit there and just like see the mundane life of their, like,
because it's real
Wednesday life. Night making dinner, like literally the cutest couple lives right across the street from me, and I just watch them sometimes, which is so creepy, but I love that because it's real, and it's like, I'm sure their Instagram doesn't look like that, whatever, I don't know what their Instagram looks like, but I just love, that's why I love New York, because you can like see people's like authentic life all the time without having to be like, you can just sit here and literally look out the window and you see like couples walking by, tourists walking by, people walking by alone, people with kids, and you're just like, oh my god, like look at all these different lives. So it's like you're seeing what you're seeing online, but in the most like authentic form ever, which is better, but it's not on a screen, so it's less addictive.
Okay, so now that we've took a big old stinky shit on social media, let's say one nice thing about it. Or a couple. What do you think's good about it?
I love seeing how everybody curates their own feed, you know, like I love the individualistic aspect of it. I think, like, I don't know if that's like my favorite thing, but that's what's coming to mind right now. Like, I love how everybody's Instagram looks so different, and even though it's like the same platform for kind of everybody, it is like curated, I think, more for everybody. It's like curated differently for people, but I do think it's like the same post button, it's the same filters, it's the same contrast, whatever, it's the same usually iPhone camera. But I love how like everybody's Instagram like is an expression of them, kind of. I think you can be like, even though it is like a very limiting app, like you can be so creative on it, and people can just like do all these different things. Like, I love, I don't know, I love pictures, and I love people that I follow, so, because I only follow 105 people, so I feel like I know them all pretty well, but I love just like seeing how everybody, like what people decide to post and like what's interesting to them and like how they curate their feed and stuff. Like, I like the creativity.
That's what aspect. I was gonna say too, because I do feel like it's a digital scrapbook in a way, and in that sense, right, you're not gonna put your divorce in your scrapbook, you're gonna put your marriage. So as long as we are aware of that, but I think it's art. Like, I do think
it really is.
It is an art form, and I think if you can't acknowledge that, then your idea of what art is very limited. But I think the way that, like you're saying, the way that people curate their images, their collection of images, it's a form of self-expression and it's art. And I think that's so awesome. I also feel like it's like our modern day town square where people like share ideas and opinions and art and information. And in that sense, it can be really interesting to like spark discussions.
We never would have learned about Poon. Instagram.
Right. And I also think this is especially related more to TikTok, but I feel like the relatable content that has gotten like so popularized of like almost like the comments where they're like, I've never had an original experience, you know? But those type of videos where you see something and you're like, oh my God, I've had that exact same experience. And I always thought I was the only one.
Yeah.
I think that makes people feel so much less alone, which I think of people with like self-harm and depression. And I feel like that stems from the feeling that like no one understands you.
Yeah.
And I just feel like humans ultimately just want to feel understood. I think that's why we like falling in love and friendships and like we just want to feel like someone understands us. And I do feel like in a way that relatable content makes people feel less alone, which is ultimately like healing and a good thing.
And it can be easier to like find your people, like you could join a group of people that like to dress up as furries.
Literally.
And you can find your fellow furries. Like, that might not be possible if it weren't for,
well, even think about media. Like, okay, the difference between like my grandma and my mom, like when my grandma was around, like the way that she would have to make friends was like joining like physical groups, like going to knitting classes, going to like things that she found in, like, the newspaper, and she, like, half of them, she was like, that was the worst, that was a waste of time, like, I hated that. It was, like, so difficult to find friends, whereas, like, my mom is now 50, or she's 60, but she, like, belongs to this group, Fabulous Females Over 50, which is, like, a Facebook group, but she made, like, so many amazing friends, and she's going to Morocco with a few of them. Really? Like, she's it's just, yes, it's so bad, but it has, like, you're able to find your people, I think, a lot easier.
Yeah.
And it's just, it is bad in so many ways, but it is so good in so many ways in connecting people. That's what it was made for. And so it's like, and you can like literally go on and look up anybody's name, which is just crazy. If you're like, there's a long lost boyfriend like from like back in the day. Yeah. You go on and you're like, John Appleseed. What's like, that's the name like that they always use or whatever on Apple.
Yeah. Also, it's like, obviously people are going to say, you know, it's a great way to connect people, but it also connects bad people to other bad people, you know, and then they come up with bad ideas. But I just feel like that would happen regardless of social media. Like, maybe it does make it easier to meet up with people, but people are always going to, like, use things for evil.
Well, it's just I mean, cyberbullying, obviously, but there was regular bullying before.
Right.
Like,
right.
It's not that, like, social media created bullying. Yeah. It was there. It's just a different platform to do it on. So, yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
I just feel like kind of the key is realizing that you have more control than you think you do or that you allow yourself to have. It's like kind of how we're talking about capitalism and the control that these companies have over our minds. Just realizing that you're actually in control and you can curate what you're seeing. Because it's kind of like, if watching scary movies every night before you go to bed makes you feel scared, then you wouldn't choose to watch that kind of movie. You would choose something happier and uplifting. So if certain things that you're seeing or following aren't like sparking joy, you're saying, then cleaning up your house a little bit.
What is it? The first step is admitting you have a problem.
Yes.
I think I haven't even gotten to that step yet. My stepmom always tells me, she's like, you are addicted to your phone. I'm like, I'm not. Like, I could literally stop whenever. Like, I'm not addicted.
There's people that are worse.
Yeah, that's like, what I always think. I'm like, at least I'm not 12 hours on my phone like Charlie D'Amelio or something.
Yeah.
But, no, I definitely have a problem. I can do something about it.
I think we all have a problem. Everyone does. That is the basis of social media, is everybody has a problem with it. But it's because they created it to be addictive.
Yeah.
You know? And there's studies that, like, the like button, like, the old CEO or the old head of Facebook or whatever was like, he did this whole talk, like TED talk, on like the like, sorry, there was a bug on my hand, a fly. He did the whole, this whole TED talk on like the like button and how like the like button was like, they knew it was gonna create like all these problems and they knew it was gonna like be addictive and they knew it was gonna like kind of like, I mean, right now the like button has been like proven to release like dopamine like in your head, and it's also like
a slot machine too,
kind of like a slot machine and like drugs, like like it literally gives you the same feeling that drugs do for a bit, so it is like very very addictive.
I get that feeling sometimes when I open Instagram, like when I reload it, sometimes I'll click it, oh, not that interesting, no one's posted, I open it again and then there, that person comes up that you wanted to see their story of,
and you're like, oh,
you
yes!
get this like boost. It's like whether it's someone you had a crush on, an ex, like whatever it is, you're like, oh. It's this feeling of like
kind dopamine.
Of excitement, anticipation, dopamine, and it's like that thought machine feeling, because they might not, you know, it might not be there each time you click, but one time it might be.
Or you post a story and you're like, the one person you wanted to see it hasn't looked at it yet, and you're like, what, what? And then finally they look at it and you're like,
You post a TikTok and it goes viral and you're like, oh my god, oh my god, I want that again. Yeah. So I'm just gonna keep posting until I get another viral video.
Exactly.
It's a cycle.
The like button is evil, and I also think the being able to see who viewed your story is like the most diabolical thing in creation. I am like, oh my god, that's just I don't want to know, and I do want to know.
I'm also like, what is the solution to this? Because there have been so many times where I've thought this and then I've deleted all my social media apps only to re-download them the next day.
Because I don't think cold turkey works for anything. I think if you were smoking cigarettes and then you just threw them all in the trash, I don't think that works. You know, that's a very specific type of person that can just do that. I don't think that works. I also don't think any of us have, like, the answer for this massive problem.
Yeah.
This massive social and cultural problem.
I just think it goes
back
to what you're saying, G. It's like, take control back from it, whether that's, like, slowly, 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 or a little bit quicker. Like, go through, unfollow people, limit your time thing. Look at your phone and, like, limit your amount that you can be on, like, certain apps or whatever. Don't go on it before bed. Like, don't go on it right when you wake up. Like, set some time. Like, create boundaries within it.
Yeah.
So that it doesn't take over you. Like, you have more control over it. But it is difficult because it's, like, I mean, even me, same with you guys probably, like, I work on social media. Like, that's my job. Like, it provides me a living. So, like, I have to be on it all the time. So I have right. to be very strict about, like, I have to be on all of them. Like, TikTok, I work for a company and I do the social media. So it's like, I have to be on TikTok all the time. And then it's like, oh my God, should I just go look at mine, like, really quickly? I see a notification. Right. I see a notification. No, notifications turned off. All my notifications
are turned off. Oh, that was a huge thing that I did many years ago, was turn off all of my notifications for yeah. all my social media. Yeah. And that, like, same. Decreased my app usage so much.
Like, if same. I had TikTok notifications on, it would not be good. I have Instagram, TikTok, I have all the fucking notifications. I even have, like, text messages, like, text message threads or text from people muted so I don't see their notifications, just because it's too distracting for me. So I think
yeah.
creating little boundaries for yourself where you see yourself being weak, like, with social media, or where you see yourself being vulnerable to, like, the tactics of social media and what they use to make it very addictive, I think are the things yeah. that you need to do in order to not get, like, sucked into the cycle as much.
I feel like what I'm stuck on is, like, I think I've figured out kind of, like, I've made my Instagram boring now, pretty boring. So I'll just, I feel better about that. It's easier to fix Instagram, I think, but the thing that I'm having a problem with is TikTok.
Oh, God, yeah.
They have no way to somehow fix- created, it's, first of all, it's endless, and
which is, it's just a whole other beast to think about. That, I mean, endless.
How do you curate that? Because it's not the people that you're following. It's a For You page that they have just, like, figured out exactly the content that you want to see.
You know how I figured it out for you right now.
What
is, you follow the people that you want their content, and you only look at the friends tab.
Yeah,
like, but you don't even go on the For You.
TikTok, you have to click on it, though.
You have to first of all click on it, and then second of all, they don't even give you, it's like, you know how Instagram, it's like, okay, excuse me, cut that out. You know how Instagram is like, you have to, like, you'll go through the feed and it'll say view older posts. Like, it does, it'll just kind of give you, like, other posts that are kind of, like, maybe related, but, like, you don't really care about those. You know, it's not videos, it's not as addictive, it's not as, like, satisfying to watch, you know? It's not as, whatever. TikTok is difficult because it's like, when you go to even the people that you follow, they give you videos of them from, like, months ago. Like, literally, it's not, okay, these are the most recent videos. Like, sometimes I'll see videos on from G's account from, like, literally December.
Yeah, it's not chronological.
And I'm like, what the hell? Like, I've already seen this. First of all, second of all, I was there. Third of all, I don't, this is not relevant to me right now. So they don't make the For You page interesting. I mean, not, they don't make, like, your personalized page with the people that you follow interesting enough, I think.
Probably on purpose.
That's why I never follow people on TikTok. I don't follow anybody. I follow you guys, and that's about it, and some recipe people, because it's never accurate.
It's not chronological.
Yes. I do think balance is the key to all of this, but I am curious what would happen if I, like, did a social media detox, and Emma Chamberlain just did a whole thing about doing a dopamine detox, and I found it really interesting. So I kind of do want to do, like, a week long.
I think we should all do it.
Social media detox, see how it makes me feel. Maybe I can learn some things from that. It's not, like, a permanent thing, but just to see how it affects my day to day. I do want to try it out.
I would definitely be interested in that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, message us and leave your thoughts on what you think.
Message us on Instagram.
Yeah. On Instagram. That's so fucking, like, hypocritical.
We should have people send in mail.
Yeah. Send us a postcard.
Send us a letter.
Well, you know.
We're doing our best.
These are our thoughts. Take everything with a grain of salt.
But I do want to hear what people have to say, because I think it's such an interesting conversation and just so good to talk about it,
just to be aware of it.
We're all thinking it. We are all thinking, like, this is probably not great. This isn't amazing. We're all addicted to our phones. So first step is admitting you have a problem. And then second step is
doing something about it.
Is literally just doing anything. Doing something. Doing, like, do one thing. That would be, like, my challenge. Do one thing to make yourself feel better.
Mitigate the effects of social media.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we'll see you in next week's episode. Whoa, my God, I'm having a stutter again.
Oh, no.
We'll see you in next week's episode.
Adios.
Bye.
Bye.
Kisses. Kisses. Mwah.